Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Welcome, everybody in-house, and those of you live streaming with us or watching it later recorded. We want to get right to it, but I just want to say thank you all for coming here in-house and on the internet. But we'll just open with a word of prayer and then give the time to Rabbi Shapira. And welcome to the session three, which is actually part two and three. So he's going to have to go really fast. So I just recommend you listen quickly. So, Father, we give you this time, and thanks for what you are doing here in this place at this time among us, Lord. We just ask that you would open our ears to hear and our minds to understand, our hearts to receive all that you have prepared beforehand for us. Lord, lead and guide us day by day into the path of righteousness for your name's sake. In Yeshua's name, amen. No further ado, let's welcome Rabbi Shapira again.
Thank you. Thank you.
As you know, we are right now in a new month. We are entering a new month, the month of Elul. And the term Elul comes from the term Ani Ledodi VeLedodi Li. He's a beloved, and we are his beloved. And he wants us to be a beloved again. So we're starting today, actually, between Elul to Yom Kippur. Things are intensified. We have a 40 days of Teshuvah. Okay? First of Tishrei, God judges Israel and the world, universe. 10 days later, he deals with Israel specifically. So let's welcome the month. Just as you saw my picture, let us welcome the month properly. I want to take a minute, just pray for the month of Elul that come upon us. Is that sounds good to you? Yes. So let us actually do something very biblical. Let's stand up. There's no shofar here, is there? No shofar in El Shaddai. Run. Okay, just come up. In the new moon, in Rosh Chodesh, it's actually commanded to blow the shofar. Today is a good day to blow the shofar. Quickly. Messiah is already came. Scripture says, I lift up my eyes to thee. No, you listen to Paul Wilbur too long. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Only in the Paul Wilbur version it says to the hills. They will change the song soon. Where my help come from? My help has come from the maker of heaven and earth. He never slumber, he never rest, even when there is eclipse. Relax. The God of Israel is in control. Take a breath. Relax. We have a father and a dad that taking care of it. He got it under control. We found the shofar? Well, I think she's been raptured. Let's pray until she comes. Abba, we lift up the month of Elul to you. May this month bring much success to us. May this month bring prosperity and tikkun and restoration to us, to our family, to our communities. May this month bring healing, physical, emotional, and spiritual healing upon us. May this month, Lord, the month of Elul will bring a real teshuvah and repentance. May this month bring salvations. May this month, Lord, bring true repair and healing and preparation for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May this month bring the new song that we've been talking about. You have promised us a new song of deliverance, and may this month will be a month, as it says in the psalm, to sing to the Lord a new song, a song that will be heard all throughout the world. Thank you, Lord, that you are truly our beloved, and may we will be your beloved as well. Thank you, Lord, that our universe is you. and your universe is us. Reunite us with you, Lord, and bring us closely, fast to your presence. In the precious name of Yeshua. Amen. Where is this shofar? Come. Do you know how to blow it? Do you know how to blow it? Okay. Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu bemitzvotav, v'tzivanu lishmo kol shofar. Blessed are you, King of the universe, who commanded us to hear with our hearts the sound of shofar. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Well, that's amazing. Praise God. You may be seated, and today we're going to go fast. You used to fast with Pastor Mark. I know that. Something tell me you know. I know that. So just to recap here, how many were not here on Shabbat? Raise your hand so I know. Where have you been? What happened to you? You've been raptured. You missed a lot. Okay, Tina already recapped. As a recap before we start, I have a program called the Pearls of the Torah every week. Remember about my mobile app? How many ran and get it? Guess going to be my guest this week on Pearls of Torah. Our own Tina. Yay! If you're interested in Parashat Shoftim, Tina was my guest today. We recorded a very good, very controversial, I think, but she gave very politically good answers too. Very good answers. Before I begin, just as a recap, our mobile app is available for you for free. Number two, if you got the resources for me and you haven't paid, today is a good day to pay. So don't run without paying. Otherwise, you will receive a phone call from me. Maybe you want a phone call from me. So then run along. I'll find you. Number three, a lot of you wanted to get the return of the kosher pig, and we ran out of book. Here you go, you're sad now. Don't worry, if you get it today, we will ship it by Shabbat to El Shaddai free of charge. So, if you want to get any resource, oh, one person wants my resource, yay, get their number, yay! But honestly, Return of the Kosher Pig is a book everybody has to have in their library. End of story. So, if you're interested, sign up today, get it today, pay for it, you'll have it by Shabbat, okay? Are we ready? So we've been talking about melody, learning the melody. But you see, this melody, the melody of Mashiach has to do with the melody of Moses. Only Mashiach is going to complete the melody, and we already learned that. We have a big task ahead of ourselves. But there is another piece to this equation. The melody is part of a songbook. There is a story. Have you ever watched a musical? Do you like musicals? What's your favorite musical? So, Sound of Music? Probably Sound of Music. One person say Grease. But you know, when you watch a musical, you almost get this sense that there is a story inside the story, right? There is the story of the song and there is the plot. I want to tell you that we must not just learn the song, we must learn the plot. And today I want to deal with you, we're going to do two lectures. We will try to do them. I want to talk to you about the plot of Messiah. Because it is true that you have heard about, a lot of you, about the Messiah for a long time. Bible school, seminaries, Sunday school, and even mayhaps you heard it on Shabbat in El Shaddai. But you know that there is only, when I was a kid, there was this man, his name was Shlomo. Shlomo Abbas. And Shlomo was a storyteller, So incredible that every week before Shabbat, all the Yeladim used to come and sit and he hypnotized us with a story. There is some special quality to a storyteller. And there are a special group of people who are commanded to become a storyteller. You know who it is? The Jewish people. But there is a problem. The Jewish people have forgotten the story. As a matter of fact, when you celebrate Passover, what's the very first three words or two words of the story? Of the Haggadah, right? We read a book called the Haggadah, and it says from Exodus, Ve'igata lebincha. Tell your son the story. That is a commandment in the scriptures. Write yourself in your note that there is a direct command. One of the 613 commandments is to tell the story. You and I are commanded to become a storyteller. But we must tell the story of Mashiach in a way that it should be told. Sorry, if you want to understand the story of Mashiach, it does not start in Matthew 1:1. If you want to understand the story of Mashiach, it's not happened with Acts, like people tell me all the time. Oh, the Holy Spirit showed up in Acts 2. No, the Holy Spirit was there in Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. The Holy Spirit does not start with Revelation. You know, I have this test when I come to churches, ask them, what kind of church are you? And if they say we are New Testament church, I run to the door. That means they don't know the story. If I give you a book and I tell you, tell me the end of the story of the book, because you have the book in the end, you say, okay, I can tell you the end, but I said, give me the plot. You will say, I have no clue. The story of the Mashiach, the true Jewish Messiah, starting in Genesis. And I want to tell you today, this evening, this story as a Jew. As a matter of fact, just to tell you a little promo, the teaching I'm going to give you tonight is from the second volume, not second edition, second volume of The Return of the Kosher Pig. Do you know that there is another book coming very soon? You're getting a sneak peek. Get your popcorn. I would like to start this story taking you to a story within a story. It's one thing to know the melody, but to know the story within the story of the Messiah is a must. You must learn. You are in El Shaddai or wherever you are in the world for one reason only. Number one, to learn the melody. Number two, to know the story. Number three, to tell the story to the world. Let's turn together to Genesis 25, a passage you all are familiar with. But remember, we're going to read it now as Jews. It says, and the children struggled together with Dinah. And she said, if it be so, where do I live? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Anybody know who are the two children? You should know who are the two children. Jacob, or in Hebrew, Yaakov and Esav. I want to tell you something, that the story of the Messiah related exactly for this particular verse. This idea, and you see it here in the text, the word in Hebrew, va'itrotzetzu, which read in your Bible, struggled, is not exactly a good explanation of the word. Let us see. What is the word itrotzetzu mean? What does it mean they struggle together within her? What, do they have a wrestling match? What's happening in the womb there? Rabbi David Kimchi, you have three big rabbis. If you don't remember any other rabbis' names, you need to know those three. I call them the big three. Rashi, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, Rambam, Maimonides, and Radak, Rabbi David Kimchi. Those are the three big names that you must know in terms of commentaries on the Jewish Bible. Each one of them is a giant in his own merit. And Rabbi David Kimchi chose to focus on the word Vayitrotzetzu. And look what he said. He said, as soon as the fetuses have developed to the point where they were able to move, they move far more violently than is the custom. So that Rivka had the impression that quarreling was going on inside of her. Okay? There was a struggle to begin with. There is a expression in Hebrew, whatever start in a balagan, going to end up in a balagan. Whatever start in a mess, going to end up in a mess. And this dysfunctional family started in a mess. Now remember that all, it says in the end of the Deuteronomy, there was no greater prophet in Israel than Moshe. It says that in the end of the Deuteronomy. When you study Torah, don't treat Torah as a book of the law. Treat it as the greatest prophetic book. And the reason is Moses is the greatest prophet who ever lived in Israel. The Torah is first and foremost a prophetic book. Now look at what Rashi said. Rashi continue and explain. Our rabbis explain the word Vayitrotzetzu, this struggle, has the remaining of running, moving quickly. Whenever she passed by the doors of Yaakov moved to the effort to come to birth. But when the river passed by the gate of the pagan temple, let me tell you, there is a word missing here. The doors of the house of Midrash, the synagogue, a place of worship. Wherever they passed by the doors of place of worship, Yaakov moved in the efforts to come to birth. But where the Rivka passed by the gate of pagan temple, Esav moved in his effort to come to birth. Another explanation is, here you go, they struggled with one another and fought as to how they would divide the two worlds as their inheritance. Very interesting commentary. There is a struggle and there is a fight between them over inheritance. And every time they go by the synagogue, Yaakov wants to come. And every time there is something wickedness, Esau gave him this and said, no, I am going to be born again. I am going to be born first. Why it is important, this idea of struggling for the inheritance? Because God has called each and every one of us to become uniters of the two worlds. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. How come the Bible starts with a bet and not aleph? Because bet is equal to two worlds. One world from above, another world from below. He created Adam on the face of the earth. So Adam will come and will reunite heaven and earth, working with partnership with God. Each and every one of us has a task and a goal of uniting heaven and earth. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 5, it says, Moses says, I stood between you and the Lord, 1 foot in heaven, 1 foot in earth. Yeshua was heavenly and earthly, both. There is a right design. Remember, we talk about learning the song, so we will be able to connect those two worlds, okay? So we hear two guys want to be, one want to be a divider and one want to be a uniter. God is calling you and I in these last days to converge those two worlds together. Yes, be heavenly minded, but bring the knowledge from heaven down to earth. In order for this to happen, are you ready? Here is the story. In order for those two worlds to be reconciled, heaven and earth. So the letter will be perfect. Esau and Yaakov must reconcile. Okay? A reconciliation must occur between Esau and Yaakov. Okay? And a matter of fact, I wanted to continue with you and show you something about this reconciliation. Notice, going back a slide or two, it says that they were struggled within her. Okay? But if you read a couple of verses before, if you go to Genesis 25, verse 23, it says, and the Lord told her, what did the Lord telling her? Are you paying attention? There are two nations in your womb, and two kind of people will come out of you. Now, the key word here in this text is the word nation. Anybody know what the word nations is? Goyim. Is that a bad word? No. If somebody call you a goy, it's not a bad word. Israel is called a goy too. Set apart goy, but Israel is called goy as well. Now, I want you to pay attention to something you're not going to catch in your English Bible. The word there, goyim, is misspelled in the Torah. You would expect to see gimel, vav, yud, yud, mem. But that's not the word. The word is misspelled. The word spelled geim. Gimel, yod, yod, mem. Every time in the Torah that you see this thing happen, where words are misspelled, you know that there is a messianic context to it. Every time. Why is it that the word geim, goim, the spell is geim? That's the message is tell Rivka. You're going to have two geim. Why is it? Here's the answer. The word goim, it says, appears as the text is the word geim, as it highlights a remez. Remez in Hebrew is a linguistic clue for the ten nations. You see, the vav is changed to a yod. Yod is equal to ten. Ten nations who represent the tents of Edom, who came to destroy the second temple and Yaakov. There is a spirit that what is happening here in the real womb, I need you to explain it. There is a spirit in the world, even from birth, that tried to destroy Jacob. Nothing more than destroy Jacob. But somehow, this spirit, are you ready? Represent somehow the ten tribes of Israel too. And don't tell me I'm a two-house rabbi. I'm not a two-house rabbi. Somehow, there will be like a ten nations, ten tribes, that somehow will connect themselves in trying to destroy Yaakov, but somehow they're going to have to reconcile with Yaakov. And they have a name. They call the tents of Edom. Okay? In essence, Esau, when you read the text, when you read about Esau, I want you to understand this today, does not represent an individual. Esau represents a spirit in the world. And what is the spirit? It stems from the spirit of Satan himself. A spirit that's seeking to destroy Jacob. Anything that happened today in the world that seeks to destroy the Jewish people is stamped in Esau. But the shocking part is somehow that this spirit is among us. It's part of our family, some of the extended family. It's almost hard to believe that. It's called the tent of Edom. Interesting enough, when you continue to read the commentary, it says it's called the tent of Edom, which will join themselves to the tent of Ishmael. When you see Islam making covenant, and it will happen, Mark Rabbi Shapiro worked, When you see Islam making a covenant with the church, you know that we are really in the end. This verse, the rabbi said, represents a clear prophecy of the future attempt of destruction of Yaakov by Esau. Are you with me? Do you understand? Now, I want you to notice something. When Esau is born, look at me at Genesis 25, 25. What does it say about Esau? Esau. Let's learn who is Esau. What is Esau? I think we're going to be a little bit stunned. Genesis 25, 25 says... Oh, that's okay. Don't go there. I like my Bible. Look at this. And the first one came, and what was he? It says, Admoni, red, kulo ke'aderet se'ar, and his name is called Esav. What was the sign that we recognize Esav as? His name was called Edom. Edom mean what? Red. Edom mean blood. His blood is red. There is only one other person in Jewish history that was born red. Who was it? No. Read your Bible. King David. I want you to pay attention, very close attention. On King David, it says, and he sent and he brought him. Now he was what? Ruddy. The same word that used to describe Esau is describing David. He became and withdrew beautiful eyes and goodly to look upon. And a matter of fact, there's only other third person in Jewish history that was red. Anybody know who it is? David. Esau. Adam. Adam was raised. And if you take the name Adam, as we're going to see in a minute, Aleph, Dalet, Mem, Adam, Aleph, D, Dalet, David, Mem, Mashiach. Adam, David, Mashiach. There is a connection here that is very, very deep. And a matter of fact, the Midrash teach that when David HaMelech was born, when King David was born, and they look, they gave the baby to Samuel. You know what Samuel's reaction was? He was shocked. He was terrified because the Midrash teaches that King David was the spitting image of Esau. They resemble each other almost to perfection. There is an important message here to you. The story of the Messiah that we must understand today, 2,000 years later, is somehow, through our actions, through our words, through our deeds, we confuse David HaMelech, King Messiah, who is Messiah, son of David, with Esau. To the Jewish people, Yeshua today is Esau, yet he is inside David. You want to know who Yeshua is? He's not Esau. He is David. He is Messiah, son of David. But for some reason, through a spirit in the world, a spirit of Edom, he became, again, not to you, to the Jewish people, he is Esau today. And a matter of fact, ready, remember, he's the word ruddy. What is the word Radi Nibu? Admoni. What is inside the word Admoni? If you take the three letters of the word Admoni, Aleph, Dalet, Mem, Adam, David, Messiah. Equivalent in Hebrew to the number 111. Why this is significant? Because when you take this number 111, the rabbi said, it's equivalent to the term, who are you? Who are you really? This is a deep mystery that I'm telling you tonight. He appears somehow to Israel as Esav, but he is really going to be David HaMelech. Who are you? The question we need to ask today, who are we? Since he lives in us. Is he David who lives in us? Or is Esav who lives in us? That, well, we'll see. There is a clear criterion in the scripture to know if he is David or he is Esav. And sadly, tragically, I want to tell you something. Today, in most of our world, the one who lives inside us is Esav and it's not David. Only by uncovering the real Admoni, the real Radi one, he can be part of this story, the story of Messiah. And a matter of fact, remember what was his name? His name is Esav. If you take Esav in complete writing, Ayin Shid Yud Vav, and you transfer the letter, what names do you get? Yeshua. Rabbi Shapira, what are you telling me? Are you telling me that Yeshua is Esav? Yes, I am telling you exactly this. For our people, if you say the term Esav, every Jew in the world knows it's Christianity. That's the term for this. Esav is Christianity. And Esav is Yeshua. But somehow we must overcome it and break through this shell so he will no longer be Esav. So he will be the real Yeshua, son of David, the ready one, the one that we read about. It was said to the book of Samuel. This is Messiah, son of David. Now, Esav, the name Esav can be written with Yod or without Yod. Esav. Ein Shin Yud Vayim, and Esav Ein Shin Vav. What if you write Esav like this? It appears both ways in the scriptures. Esav like this equals Shalom. He is going to be a prince of war or the prince of peace. You choose which Yeshua you're going to follow. One Yeshua seek to bring peace to the Jewish people. One Yeshua who choose to destroy the Jewish people. Which Yeshua is it? Are you ready? Are you with me? Have I lost you? Have I scared you? Are you following it? I don't want to get nasty emails about this message. This is important. Let's get back to the text. You understand now the thesis? The thesis is that Yeshua today is really Esav in his externality because he became guilty by association. We must uncover him as Yeshua so he long no longer be Esav. How do we do it? We're going to get there too. But let's continue for a second and see what the text says. Because this is a wonderful prophecy. And he said, and the first one came forth, what? Ruddy, all over in a hairy mantle. What's the word? Mantle? Sa'ir. And they call his name Esav. Okay? I want you to notice something. The key word in this text, remember what I told you, Esav represents something really, really wicked. But it also represents the Messiah. It's a paradox. Look at this. This term, and he came first, it's an important statement. Who is the one who is called first in the text? Listen to this, he said. The rabbi says, and I quote, "The Holy One, he is the one who is called, I am the first and I am the last." There is a linguistic clue that although he appears wicked, he is like the first. Who else called first? Zion is also called first, as it states, "As a throne of glory exalted from the beginning, so is the place of our sanctuary." This is Jeremiah 17. Who else called first? Esau called first in the text. Who else is called first? Are you ready? Isaiah 41. Chazal, our sages, says, Messiah is also called first. Israel called first. Zion called first. Esau called first. And the Messiah called first. Isaiah 41, 27. The first one into Zion, behold them. This term is first. It's the same language that is used in the Torah here. The Holy One called first, the temple called first, Esau called first, and Messiah called first. Why? Because they are one in the same. They are one in the same. Look at this. I actually gave you the reference to those who were interested. Exodus Rabbah 15:1. Two is called first, Exodus 12, 3. This is referring, so to speak, to the Holy One of Israel. But also in Isaiah 44, 6 to Hashem. Zion, in Genesis they refer to Esau, and look at this. And let the Messiah also is called first. Somehow there is a linguistic clue here that the ruddy one who is coming first is speaking about the Messiah. But the first time he's going to come first, he is going to be wicked. He is going to be the one who take upon himself wickedness somehow. He became wicked. And interesting, in Corinthians it says that Yeshua became sin. He's not a sinner, he became sin. Who is the most wicked Jew in the world? Esau. Who is the most wicked Jew in the world? Yeshua. Why? Because he had to take upon himself all the garbage of all of humanity. You understand that? And a matter of fact, people ask me and ask me the question, is there is a concept of second coming? Of course the second coming is in the scripture. In the first coming, it said, "And it came to pass that the time of travails, that behold, twins were in her womb." You see the letter Aleph? Later on, we read about another set of three twins that are being born. And it says, "And when the time to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb." What's the difference? Notice that in the first twin, there is no Aleph. There is an Aleph. In the second twin, there is no Aleph. Tomam, come from the word Tamim. Blameless. It is finished. He completed all things. When Esau and Yaakov reconcile, all things will be completed. You want to know what is the solution here? To reconcile Esau and Yaakov. Who is Yaakov? Yaakov is the Jewish people. They call Israel. Who is Esau? Anybody in the world who follow Yeshua. Anybody in the world that follow Yeshua today is Esau. And a matter of fact, it says, I like this. It says in Genesis Rabbah, Rabbi Haggai, say in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. and you shall take for yourself on the first day. I will reveal to you first, as it says, I am the first and I am the last. And I, remember, that's applied to Esau too. And I will exact retribution on your behalf from the first who is Esau, as it is written. And the first one emerged. And I will build the first for you, which is the holy temple, which is written as the throne of glory exalted from the beginning. And I will exalt for you the first one who is called the King Messiah, for it is written, the first one on Zion, behold, behold them. So if the Messiah is truly one from Edom, right? Why is he in Edom? Why is he not with the Jewish people? Why is he not in Israel? How did he get to Edom? And the question we must ask ourselves, why is he in Edom? Is it simply to take upon himself the sin of Israel? And I want you to notice something. In the womb, Yaakov had to hold on to Esau to be born. He held his heel to be born. Yaakov needs Esau. And a matter of fact, the Midrash says that Yaakov died in the womb. Yaakov is not born again. Born for the first time unless Esau push out. Are you following what I'm telling you? If there is no Esau, there is no Yaakov. Yaakov had to grab into him. Esau is Christianity. Yaakov is Israel. Without the birth of Christianity, Israel cannot return to be everything that Israel needs to be. Interdependency. But it still asks the question, why on earth he have to appear as Edom? Why couldn't he be just king, righteous? Some people say he had to come once and once and that's it. That's all what we need. That is false. How many of you have seen the movie The Lord of the Rings? The trilogy. Yes? In this story, if you don't know, they have a ring. And he was commissioned to destroy the ring. How did he destroy the ring? In order to destroy the ring, he had to go to the pit of hell in order to destroy it. Okay? There is a reason he have to look like Edom. Because Edom represents a spirit that represents the filth in the world. All the filth. He have to become part of the filth in order to destroy the filth. Look at what the rabbi said. This is absolutely amazing. This is one of our greatest rabbis, the Maharal of Prague. And you will find that as long as the fruit is not ripe, it stays inside the peel. Okay? Until it grows big and is whole. When the fruit becomes big and the peel is broken because of the fruit that grows inside of it, because everything that has an inner degree comes out of something that is on the outside. Let me explain this for you. This is important. Every one of us in the room has what's called a peel. Judaism teaches that each person has what's called a klipa. A klipa is what represents kind of our externality. Okay, it's an externality. And inside we have a neshama, a spirit, a nefesh. Those represent our internality. And here is the rule in Judaism. The more things on the peel are wicked, appearance wicked, in the inside they are more holy. It's a contrary. For example, if you take the Hebrew word Messiah, it's equivalent to the word Nachash, snake. How can a snake and a Messiah relate to each other? Why is it? Because on the externality, the snake is a terrible thing. But it's in the internality, it represents something holy. The Messiah have to appear as Edom, as the most wicked thing in the world, in a klipa of the most wicked things. That's why Yeshua's name is such an offensive name. It has to be offensive in order for him to be so holy inside. You understand that? Similarly, look what it says about Moses. This is why Moses, our rabbi, Moses grew up, where did he grow up? In the house of Pharaoh. So that the godly and holy degree that he would have come out of material shell, that he wouldn't have been so there is no inner degree to be separated. Understand that this is an issue that is very deep and is known to those who know about separated things that come out and rise above material things. The same is the case of the Messiah who dwells in Edom. This is the reason why we talked about the link, about it in link, because it is a great thing to understand why Moses became great at the house of Pharaoh. Let me ask you a question. What house Moses destroyed? The house of Pharaoh. What house was he raised in? Why did he raise in the house of Pharaoh? Because he was cast in a commission to destroy the house of Pharaoh. You cannot destroy something unless you are in this something. Yeshua had to be part of Edom because the Edom is the spirit of the anti-Messiah in the world. He had to become part of it, look like it, look red, look wicked in order to destroy it. Are you following this? You have to become something in order to destroy it. And that's why it says on the second Redeemer. Moses is our first Redeemer. And is also our last Redeemer. Meaning what? The Messiah will follow the life of Moses. Moses was rejected. Messiah was rejected. Moses was raised up, estranged from his brother. Moses was the same thing. Moses destroyed Egypt. Messiah will destroy Edom. Moses appeared an Egyptian. Yeshua appeared today as a Christian Gentile to our people. Are you following this? As a matter of fact, it says the following on the future redemption in the book of Micah. He said, in the day of thy coming forth, out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. The nation shall see and be put to shame for all their might, that they shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. Please understand that the redemption, what the scripture suggests to us, that the redemption that happened in Egypt, if you want to know the future redemption of Israel, follow the prototype, the redemptions out of Egypt. That was a prototype for the future redemption. And if that is true, Moses came out of Egypt. Yeshua is going to come out of Christianity. Not to save Christianity, to destroy Christianity. Don't be fearful for the Jewish people, with all due respect. Be careful and pray for your Christian friends. It is a prototype. And a matter of fact, I will prove it to you that he's going to destroy. If you want to destroy something, like in the movie Lord of the Rings, you have to put the ring inside the highest mountain from the inside out. If you want to destroy something, you don't destroy it from the outside in. You destroy it from the inside out. Yeshua had to become a Christian in order to destroy the spirit of Satan that seek to destroy Jacob from the womb. Are you following what I'm saying to you? This spirit wanted to destroy Jacob, the Jewish people, already long ago. So he said, no. I'm going to become part of this. We call it undercover. You know, do you have Israelis in the IDF that go undercover? They become part of the people. Yeshua become Jesus Christ in order to destroy Satan. What a stunning story it is. And a matter of fact, scripture tells us that. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel says, by the multitude of thy iniquities, in the unrighteousness of thy traffic, Thou hast profaned thy sanctuary. Therefore have I brought forth fire from the midst of you that have devoured thee. You see this word from the midst of you? In Hebrew, it means from your inside out. If you want to know how it's going to be destroyed, it's not going to destroy it from the outside. It's going to destroy it from the inside out. God is going to take care through Messiah, the spirit of Edom, from the inside out. Do you know why God is bringing you to know who Yeshua is? He's using you to destroy the spirit of Edom from the inside out. How many of you in the room are former Christians? You understand why I'm saying he's using you already to do this. And I hope I don't offend anybody. But there is a huge, huge warning. We must take Esau, I call it Yeshua today, and make him the real Yeshua. It says in Corinthians, God make him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become righteousness of God. Are you following what I'm telling you? He wants to destroy sin in the world. He wants to destroy those who want to destroy Jacob. Why? Because it says, Jacob I loved. Yaakov is Israel. He loves Israel. So whoever is going to touch Israel, he's going to be a big brother and say, I'm going to take them out. Even if I have to suffer for this. Have you ever had a big brother like that? What an amazing father, brother, dad, husband, whatever you want to call him. I love this so much that I'm going to read it all to you backwards. Look at this word, melech, mem lamed chaf. Melech means HaMashiach, King Messiah, atid in the future, lihipara mi Edom, will come to Zion from Edom. Edom is Christianity. The rabbi said he's a good Christian, but he's coming from Christianity. It's a shocking statement. Lifara Yoshev Imahem, he dwell with them. Shame on you. Bemedina Shenemar, Sham Irae Egel Sham Irabet. He sit in a foreign land, spiritually speaking. הדבר הזה מופלא למבינים. This causes you to wonder, how is it possible? By the way, this is the Maharal of Prague. This is amazing. I'm not going to read all of this to you, it's a lot. Therefore it says that King Messiah dwell with them in the land, in their land. Okay? Which meaning that the structure or the way that the kingdom of Messiah will start is after a period of being separated from Israel, as he will be glued himself to the kingdom of Edom. He is Edom. He became an undercover agent. This undercover agent became the mayor of the city of Edom. Are you following what I'm telling you? He's the main guy. But there is a surprise to the world. The main guy in a kingdom called Edom, Jesus Christ, about to reveal himself as Yeshua HaMashiach and destroy this kingdom. That's amazing. And this is the structure, the verse that says that the hand of Jacob holding to the heel of Esau. He's held in on Yaakov going to be born again through Esau. Esau is Edom. That's the same word, Esau and Edom. By the way, the word Esau is called Seir. What is Seir? Seir is the offering. He became an offering for Israel. He is the offering for Israel. He is grabbing to Esav. And when he grabbing to the heel of Esav, the hand is coming near. When you see Jewish people start to hold on to Yeshua, you know that the end is near. I'm not going to go through this. It's too much for you right now. Get the book. But the point of the matter is, I got to leave some things. Otherwise, you won't buy my book. What have I done? I give you everything. The point of the matter is, Yeshua today is Esav, and he's Esav by his own choice. Nobody made him. He chose to be Esav because he loved the Jewish people. And if Yeshua is Esav, you are Esav. Because Yeshua lives inside of you. But Yeshua is really not Esav. It says in the scripture, the voice is the voice of Jacob, and the hand is the hand of Esav. He appeared Esav. But inside he is Jacob, really. He is the greatest one among Jacobs, right? He is King David, remember? He looked like Esav, but he is David. He is David. So the question now becomes, how do we rectify it? I can already see we're not going to get through all the messages. I'll have to come back. When the rapture occurs, how do we rectify it? The Torah gives us the answer. Remember the answer and the title of the message today? Are you Edom? You need to ask yourself the question now. Are you Esav or are you Yeshua? Be very afraid. Not to scare anybody here, not to scare anybody who watch online. Be very afraid if you are Esav. In a second we see what he's going to do to Esav. Look with me what happened to Israel. This is from Parashat Masaeh, Numbers 33. It says, these are the stages of the children of Israel. But when they went forth out of the land of Egypt by their host under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And a matter of fact, when you continue to read in Numbers 33, you're going to notice he recounted, Moses recounted every place Israel stopped. They stop here, they stop there, they stop there, they stop there. There is a rhythm to the Torah. But then something very strange happened in chapter 33. We get to the end of it and we read the last three verses. All of a sudden, the tone of the Torah starting to change. It just says, and they journeyed from Etzion Gever, or Gavel, and pitched in the wilderness of Tzin. The same is Kadesh. And they journeyed from Kadesh and pitched to Mount Hor and to the edge of the land of Edom. And Aaron the priest went up to Mount Hor, pay attention, at the commandment of the Lord, and died there in the 40th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt in the fifth month and the first day of the month. Let me ask you a question. What happened in Edom? They say, what happened in Vegas? Stay in Vegas, right? What happened in Edom? Stayed in Edom now for a long, long time. What happened in Edom? Let's understand this text in context. This text is Parashat Masaeh, when God recounting all the journeys of Israel. And look what Chazal says on this. Chazal is our sages. They say, it is like, on the word, these are the journeys. Here are the journeys. The rabbi said, it is like the case of a king whose son was ill. He took upon him certain place to cure him. On the return journey, his father began to recount all the stages, saying, here we slept. Here we cool ourselves. Here we had a headache. So the Holy One, blessed be He, said to Moses, recount to them all the places that they provoke me. Consequently, it says, these are the stages. He reminding them of all the places that they were healed along the way. But then we get to this place called Edom. And we notice that the text changed. Something happened in Edom. Aaron died in Edom. Please pay attention to this. Aaron died in a place called Edom. Aaron is the high priest of Israel. I want you to notice this. A couple of chapters earlier, something amazing happened. Israel is the edge of the desert sin, and they have a direct passage to the land, to the covenant, to the promises, to the blessings. And look what happened. Look what it says in the text. It says, and they journeyed from Kadesh and pitched in Mount Hur. In the edge, again, listen to the language, in the edge of the land of Edom. And Aaron the high priest went up to Mount Hur and all the commandment of the Lord. And what happened to Aaron there? He died there. In the 14th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt. In the fifth month, on the first day of the month. Make yourself a note. Something tragic happened in Edom. It is related to every single one of us. Aaron, the high priest, died there. But something took place there in Edom. Right before Aaron died there. Moses wanted to pass through Edom. And he approached King Edom. And I want you to notice the language, the prophetic language of the discussion between Moses and King of Edom. Look what it says. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto Edom. Those said, thy brother Israel. And look at the language. He says, Israel is approaching you. Edom, remember, Edom is the descendants of Esau. You know all the trouble we've been following us. We've been dealing with those crazy Egyptians. And they made us sick. And you know all of our sad stories. So Moses is giving the king of Edom this sad story. But notice the language here. He calling brother Israel. Today the Jewish people called you your brother Israel. This is a language that you need to understand. Anybody who believes in Yeshua has a brother, and his brother is Jacob. You have a brother. What are you going to do? Are you going to do what Edom did to us? What are you going to choose? Look what happened. And he says, Moses continued with his sad story. And when we cried to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and brought us forth to Egypt. And beheld, we are in Kadesh, a city of our Moses' brother. They are there in the outskirts of Edom, the nearest highway to Zion. Let us pass, I pray thee, to your land. We will not pass through the field, through the vineyard, neither we will drink the water of your wells. We will go along the king's highway. I want you to notice the language. It's called the king highway. Scriptures tell us in Isaiah, I hope you connect the point, you say, make a way, make a path. The king is coming. Our job today is to learn this story in a way to make a way for the reconciliation between Esau and Yaakov. Don't add stumbling blocks. I am such a defender of Judaism, and I'm so angered by a lot of our movement in the Messianic movement. The two house, the sacred names, the calendar people, these people. At the end of the day, all of those things. All what they do is they put giant boulders in front of our Jewish people. You can't put those boulders. It's great if you know Torah, but if you put boulders, it doesn't matter what you know, because Yaakov cannot reconcile with Esav. Are you with me? Look what happened. He says, let me go on the freeway, the way of the king. We will not turn aside to the right or to the left until we have passed your border. And look at Edom and Seir. And Edom said unto him, you shall not pass. On the contrary, if you try to come into the land, I will kill you. Will you tell me, please, why is it okay and cool in our circle for a Jew to become a Christian? But when a Jew like myself want to remain a Jew and follow Yeshua as a Jew, why is it not okay? Because there is a spirit of Edom that is working even among the Jewish people. It's not just the spirit among Christians. Please understand today. Anybody and anything that want to rob the Jewish people from the calling and the covenant and the promises, or to diminish those things, in essence have the spirit of Edom. All two people are excited by that. I tell you, I'm grieved, because in Israel, most Messianic believers, they want to be Christians. They don't want to be Jewish. You know where the influence coming from the church. You know why? Because they get money. Sorry to say it publicly, but it is the truth. And you know the message that I hear again and again. I just came back from Singapore. Many Messianic ministries, they're Israelis. And the message for the church, the message that I don't want to ever hear again, because I am so sick of it, is just pray for the peace of Jerusalem and give us your tithe money and everything going to be okay. No! You must to cast away. You need to open your borders so Jewish people can come to your door in El Shaddai and not be offended and hear the truth about Yeshua in a Jewish way. Yes, you have to do this. We must teach Torah in a way that will not be offensive to our people. We must be open and gracious and open the door so people can cross over and tell them, encourage them, if you're a Jew and follow Yeshua, remain Jewish. Don't become Christian. And a matter of fact, you remember in Isaiah, it says, make a highway. Make a highway. Look at the language here. And the children of Israel says, "Bamesila nale." It's a prophetic language. We want to go on the highway. Our Jewish people. You know, today we had a great, great morning in El Shaddai. We recounted the Amidah prayer together. We pray, and I did the Hebrew, and they did the English, and it was fun. And we got to the last benediction there, and it says, blessed are you, O Lord, who restored the Shekinah to Zion. Every Jew in the world will admit, you know, when I did the debate with the rabbi, he admit that every Jew in the world today is in exile, in a spiritual exile, because we don't have Messiah. And here they say, we want to be on the highway to the land, to the promises, to the covenant. Gentile, Esav, a spirit of Esav. This is the spirit of Esav. Edom is Esav, remember? Same name. Let us through. Come on, we want to be good Jews and be in the land. Let us be on the freeway. That's literally the word. Make a highway. Look at Isaiah. We will not touch your water or nothing. And the children of Israel said, we will go up to the highway, and it will drink of thy water, and I will, and my cattle, then will I give a price thereof. Let me pass through on my feet. There is no hurt. By the way, do you notice the language? For one person. Not let us. Let me pass. Israel is one. Let Israel pass. Release Yeshua. Open the border of Edom. Before Yeshua can get to Zion, he has to go through Edom with us. We need help a little bit, a little help. But look at the answer of Edom. This is the spirit in the world today. And it says, thou shalt not pass. And Edom came out against him with a much people and a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel a passage through his border, where Israel turned away from him. I want to tell you something. Israel need to become Yaakov again. But Yaakov has to go through the land of Edom. Remember, he had to hold to Esav. You have to go through Esav. Open the borders. Stop holding on to your Christian ways. Let the spirit of Edom drop off. That's the only way. And here is the benefit. When the way of the king will occur and the Jewish people will come on in, you can come with us to the land. Come on in with us, but don't hold on to your Yeshua. You see what happened? Yeshua is in Edom. For 2,000 years, he's been held captive. He is a prisoner. That's why it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 that he is a prisoner in his own kingdom. Look it up. Ecclesiastes 4, excuse me. He says he's a prisoner in his own kingdom. And what happened in Edom? Israel was not allowed to pass through. Aaron also died in Edom. Remember, Aaron is the high priest. Look what happened in Edom because of this. And Moses did as the Lord commanded. And they went up to Mount Hor, right there in the skirts of Edom, in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron off his garment and put them upon Eleazar, his son. And Aaron died on the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. I want you to notice something incredible here. Who died in the skirts of Edom? Aaron. What did the text say? Va'ifshat. Vayefashet, excuse me, let's be accurate in the Hebrew. Vayefashet, unclothed him. Moses took off his clothes. Et Aaron, et Bgadav. Wait a second. The word et means it's a conjunction. And Moses took off Moses undressed Aaron and undressed his clothes. Why is the text mentioned that he undressed Aaron and then he undressed him from the clothes? There are two undressing occurring here. If you undress somebody, you undressed him once, right? But the text here says that he got undressed twice. Are you ready? In the first century, we had what is called the Targum. The Targum gives us a midrashic explanation to complicate texts like this. Why is the text says that Aaron got naked twice? Listen to what the midrash says. And thou shalt strip Aaron of his vestment of adornment, called this glory, of the priesthood, and put them on Eleazar, his son, but Aaron shall be gathered and die there. There are two different types of garments that were taken off Aaron. His glory was stripped of him and his clothing was stripped of him. Yeshua have neither one today. He appeared as Esav and his glory has been stripped out of him as well. You want to start to see why God is so angry at Edom? Because something terrible happened in Edom. Israel was not allowed to come to the covenants and the promises and the blessing. And secondly, Aaron died in Edom, where the glory and his clothing has been stripped out of him and he has no longer glory. Aaron is a picture of the Messiah. He's the high priest. Yeshua is our high priest as well. He'd been stripped out of his glory. And that's why You know, God have an open book. God keep an open book on everything that happened in Jewish history. And he's going to come and collect. That's why later on you read in Isaiah 63, who is the one who is coming from where? No. Let's read it again. Who is the one that's coming to Edom? Everything should start connecting the dots for you. He's not coming to Edom. He's already in Edom. What is he doing in Edom and where is he going? He's going to Zion. What is it going? With crimson garments from Bozera. This is that glorious in his appearance, stately and greatest in strength. I speak in victory, mighty to save. Where is he coming from? He is in Edom because he has an open business with Edom. He is going to destroy the spirit of Edom. Mark my word, Yeshua is going to destroy Edom. And every person who stood between the Jewish person and God is going to be punished in this day. You better be careful. Sorry to bring a warning in such a happy and festive time. But are we Edom? Are we practicing in such a way that closed the door for the Jewish people? You can say, I love the Jewish people. But if you practice your faith in a way that closed the door for our Jewish people to come to the promises and covenants, including the new covenant, you are Edom by definition. A lot of Christian Zionists are very lovely people. But they take a little bit of Jewish tradition and they make it something that is offensive to our people. It's better to do less and do it right than to do more and do it wrong. You hear what I say to you? Are you welcoming? And I know this church is welcoming to Jewish people. I don't need to tell you I'm preaching to the choir. I know Pastor Mark. But he's coming from Edom to destroy Edom. Where do I appear red? Why? They're asking me, why do you appear red? Why do you think he appeared red? Because he'd been with the Gentiles for 2,000 years. He's about to take off his clothes and say, I'm not really this Christian Jesus Christ. I have a name, Yeshua Mashiach. This next verse, verse 3, is real scary. Have trodden the winepress alone, and the people, there was no man with me. Yeah, I trod them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. And their lifeblood is dashed against my garment, and I have stained all my raiment. It's a day, it's the same day that is called the great and terrible day. He's stepping, he's smashing, and the blood is all over. Because it is called a day of vengeance that was in my heart, a year of redemption. The year of redemption are come. Who is the one who is coming from Edom? The rabbis speak in one voice. And they say, it is the Messiah. This is a dirty, known secret in Judaism. That the Messiah is someone with the Gentiles today. But he's going to leave the Gentiles. And he's going to be king over Israel. Remember I gave you the big three rabbis? Let me give you the big four. Here's one more name. Avram Evan Ezra. Evan Ezra says, who is coming from Edom? Edom is Rome. Hashem will deal with those who harmed Israel. He will come to Bozera that they will know the true fate. Vatican, you are better be careful. Vatican will have an alliance with Ishmael. Remember this. But it's much more than Rome, than Edom. That's why it says in Sanhedrin 98, remember the Messiah sitting at the gates of Rome. He's sitting there waiting for Israel to call him to come back. He's sitting there because he's going to destroy Hasatan from the days of Jacob and Esau. He's going to deal with it once and for all. Look at Metzudat David. It says, the prophet prophesies that in the future, Hashem, the Lord, will take their revenge on Edom. The prophet speaks in the tongue of man to explain that his clothes are red because of the blood he poured. The word Edom comes from the word dam, blood. There's going to be lots of blood in this day. Notice what the text though says. Who is coming from Edom? It says crimson garment from Patera. What is the word there in Hebrew for crimson? Crimson garment. Anybody? Crimson. No. No. Learn Hebrew. And what is he wearing? Clothes. Make yourself learn. Let's learn Hebrew together. I wish I had the time to make this slide for this. There are two words in Hebrew for clothes. Beged and levush. Beged, say with me, beged, velevush. The word that is used here in the text is the word beged. You have to pay attention even to smallest things like that. Look what Chazal said, the rabbi said. Why does it say crimson clothes? Let's say crimson clothes. Those are pure and clean. His clothes are pure and clean. There is a difference between beged and levush. They're both articles of clothes. The levush is derived from the word lavash. He wore a special clothing though. A clothing of a king of the kingdom. Okay, description mentioned in Psalm 22, that part of my garment among them, and that my vest do cast lots. We'll look at that in a second. But the levush of the kingdom is one that they cannot have. Remember what happened to Aaron? They removed from him the two garments of his glory. He is coming back, and he's coming back with the full garment of glory. There's not going to be any kind of ambiguity. Who stripped him out of this garment of glory? Edom. Edom did. He died in Edom. We lower Yeshua today. Yeshua is my friend. He is my savior. Yeshua is the king of kings and lords of lords, and he is going to come, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, and we will proclaim he is beloved Lord. And he's going to look according to Isaiah 11, and everyone is smelling. He said, okay, are you Edom? Right there. Are you Israel? There's only two nations, Edom and Israel. Two spirits of this world. Spirit of Yaakov or spirit of Esau. Who are you? He's going to tell you, who are you? I don't need to tell you. He will tell you. The Hebrew word here of beged means that he's going to come with clothing. He said, I had enough. Enough of this. I am not an Egyptian king. I am not an Edomite. I am the high priest of Israel. Look at this though. Look with me for a second. It also say, you probably were reading this commentary, you don't understand it because unless you understand Hebrew, it doesn't make sense. But here you go. It says in Hebrew, who is coming from Edom? Now you know why from Edom. And crimson garment. What is the word from crimson garment? It's the Hebrew word vinegar. What did they give Yeshua on the cross? That is the word. He is coming from the cloth that gave him to drink the vinegar. That's why the rabbis connected this to Psalm 22. They part my garment among them, and for my vesture do they cast lots. You see, they took my clothes and they spread them around. Just like just like Aaron lost his clothes. And they gave him the vinegar. He's coming with the same apparel, but this time he's coming in his full glory. Amen? Oh, it's 8:30? Okay, we got to break. But that was just the first part, Tina. We're going to have to leave some stuff for the next time. What I am trying to say, I'm going to take just 5 minutes, Tina, to break this. Today, we have a choice. Are we going to be Esav or are we going to be Yaakov? Are we going to be Esav or Yaakov? And inside of all of us, it says actually that inside every human being, there's a part of Esav and part of Yaakov. An interesting thing, when Yaakov appear, Esav have to disappear. It's almost like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. In all of us, there is this. You can overcome it. Because the second you become Yaakov, in the name of Yeshua, Yeshua become Yaakov. Are you following what I'm telling you? The second that you overcome things in your life and you become like Yaakov. Yeah, you need to become like Yaakov. I don't need to become Christian. You need to become Jews. The tragedy today is all the sons of Yaakov want to be Esav. They want to become Edom. They want to be Christians. The second the nations return to the Torah, return to understanding Yeshua, becoming Yaakov, Yeshua lives in you today. Which Yeshua the world going to see? Esav or Yaakov? Which Yeshua the Jewish people going to see? Yeshua that is opening the borders of Edom and say, come on in, Jewish people. Let me not just let you go on the way of the king. Let me carry you. Let me help you. Let me show you. Your job is to be a blessing to the Jewish people. In the name of Yeshua. Never be ashamed to do it in the name of Yeshua. The Jewish people need to know that it's happening in the name of Yeshua. Okay? I'm sorry, I disagree with some Christians. Say, don't tell the Jewish people. Tell them about Yeshua, but show it to them. Don't preach at them. Show it to them. There is today a door. I'm telling you, it's hard. The gospel in Israel to share is difficult. God is raising communities like El Shaddai. I pray there will be thousands. We need 1,000 El Shaddais all over the world. We need it. We really need it. So we can take Esav and make it Yaakov. Me, ani. Who am I? The question I ask you today, tonight in the Rosh Chodesh of Elul, is who are you? Who are you? Are you going to open this door? This warning that you saw? Be afraid for your Christian friends. Bring them out. Not in condemnation. Bring them because you love them. But do it for the one reason. You know what the ultimate reason is? No. For Yaakov. For Jacob to be protected. In the end of the day, it's all about Jacob. It's all about his love for Yaakov. Esav I hated, and Jacob I loved. If you become Yaakov, through the klipa, the shell of Yeshua, I promise you, the redemption will come quickly upon our people. Amen? Do you understand the message today? Was not so easy message. But can we pray? Amen. Abba, we come to you. Lord, I am just so blessed, Lord, that you are giving me opportunity to share even difficult message like tonight in a way that I pray not offends anybody. But if somebody watch or hear offended, fine, let them be offended for the awesome name of Yeshua. Because you carry the offenses, you've carried the schmaltz, you carry all the garbage. And because of that, Lord, because you so much desire to take sin from the world, once and for all, you became the essence of sin. You took it all upon yourself. Our rabbis teach us that the Messiah, he suffered and suffering for Israel even today. Lord, I believe you are still suffering for Israel today. You atone for Israel today. You make atonement for Israel. We know that there are forces. Even I pray specifically for the ministry even of El Shaddai, that deal with all the definitely all the opposition from Christians, Christianity, such an uphill battle. Lord, remove the spirit from Edom, from Christianity, from Esav today, so all of us will be saved, not just the Jewish people. True salvation, as it said, all of Israel will be saved. So I pray for the ministry here in El Shaddai. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us in these 30 days of Elul really ask the question, am I Yaakov or am I Israel? Am I the prince of peace or I'm like the Edomites, the prince of war? Am I going to come to Israel with a hug or am I going to go out to them at sword? Am I willing to fix the land? Fix the land so as Israel will come through this land, they will recognize. They will recognize their Messiah, or I will make this land in strange and strange for our people Israel. Deal with each one of us, Lord, as we ask ourselves the question, are we Yaakov or are we Esav? In the name of Yeshua, Lord, give us the mercy. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Unfortunately, I will not be able to get to the last message. So sorry. But I'll say one thing about the last message. In the last message, we did deal with this ultimate reconciliation between Yaakov and Esav. Now you understand we have to reconcile Yaakov and Esav. And there is a passage in the Torah where Joseph, when Pharaoh tell the people of the Egyptians to do everything that Joseph tell them to do. But the Torah doesn't tell us what Joseph tell them to do. Do you know what the Midrash says? The Midrash says that Joseph gave a commandment to all of Egypt to go and circumcise themselves. And the reason is because he knew that one day his brothers are going to return. And he wanted them not to feel as strangers and foreigners in Egypt when they come to reconcile. Israel going to come and reconcile. You are today the foreigners. You are not part of the physical Israel, but you're going to be the bringer of Israel to salvation. I encourage each and every one of us to start the process of removing Edom by circumcising our heart. That is the beginning point. Circumcision of our heart. That's my wish and prayer for you. And God bless you and have a good Rosh Chodesh. And many, many blessings. So I'm almost in time, Tina. Thank you.